It's podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Matt, what should we say to introduce the podcast?
Oh, right, yeah. Good question. Something a bit wacky, perhaps. That we wouldn't normally get away with on the actual radio.
Let me write that down.
It's always good.
Wacky.
Wacky. Zany. Something zany.
Let me write that down again as well. Zany.
A bit anarchic.
Anarchy. Good. So I've got on my notes wacky, zany, and anarchy. What do your notes say?
I haven't got any notes.
I'll just use these. Have these?
Yeah, I think that those are the three key words.
Here.
Thanks.
Now I haven't got any notes.
Yeah, have a Mac.
Hello and welcome to podcast 66 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Wah, wah. Mr. Butler, that's not my banana. On this week's podcast, Bear Grylls, Miranda Hart. Never trust a crow. Never, ever trust a crow. We give you advice for your younger selves, and we try and save confirmed listener Glenn.
Boing.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
It's still dark out there. It's going to get darker, isn't it? Pretty much darker.
Well, the clocks go... We go out of British summertime this weekend.
Don't we?
Yeah, I can never remember if the clocks go backwards or forwards.
They go backwards.
Fall back, that's it. Spring forward, fall back.
Is that how you remember it?
Yeah.
Ah, well, yeah, the clocks go back on Sunday. Does that mean we get an extra hour in bed?
Or do we get an extra less? Less one hour.
Well, I think if it's two, and then it turns to three, but then it goes back to two, we get that extra hour, don't we?
Yeah,
Monday's okay. Going to be a rocking show. Imagine that extra hour of sleep.
Yeah,
we could stay up all night, Matt.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's not do that. No. How are you? How was your day yesterday, Matt?
Well, it was good. I mean, I my baby this week has just turned into a lunatic. she used to go to bed fine, but now bedtime comes around and she lies in her bed just screaming and howling for hours on end.
Yeah.
2 to 3 hours at a time.
If you are currently pregnant, don't worry about what Matt said.
The rest of it's been great. I don't know what's happened to her.
It's just...
I don't know what has happened to her this week.
And for you in particular, with your hours, that's not great,
I have
it?
To go and sleep on the sofa while she comes and sleeps in our bed, and I'm just up and down all night. It's a nightmare.
Poor little Matthew.
Remember when James Corden came in? I think he was around this sort of stage.
He was at that stage, yeah.
When he came in and talks about the dangers of having a baby. Yeah. And I can really relate
The dangers
to
of having a baby.
I can really relate to that.
That sounds like a new Matt Dyson paternal book, like a guide you can have. The dangers of having a baby.
I just don't know what to do. We don't know what to do with her. She won't stop howling.
It'll get better.
Just a phase.
You sure it's a baby?
Yeah.
It's not often a baby howls.
Well, you know, she's just making as much noise as she possibly can.
It sounds like a nursery rhyme about a couple who inadvertently raised a fox. Thinking it was a baby. Yes. All the time. And no one mentions it. Yeah. Big hairy orange baby. What's going on there?
We are XFM.
So last week, I noticed that XFM favourite Dappy was criticising the Saturdays. The Saturdays of all people. For doing a reality show. You know they're doing this show out in America, aren't they? They're trying to crack a new territory.
Oh yes, I remember you saying.
As Una put it, completely naturally. So they're out there and Dappy got all angry, right? And he's like, how could they sign up to do like a reality show?
How could they do that? It's kind of, it ruins the credibility of the Saturdays, says Dappy. So anyway, Dappy signed up to do a new reality show. It's called The Madness of King Dappy. And the quote is, "You're going to see me and all my crazy friends and all the mischief I get up to." Man, he gets up to mischief if he gets up to. I'm hoping it's stuff like tying a policeman's shoes together. You know what I mean? Running off, pushing over bikes.
Yeah.
Maybe in one episode he could just put some fairy liquid in the town fountain.
I mean, presume some of it's going to be set up by the riverbank while he's fishing.
He's a big angler. Yeah, he's a big angler. Hopefully there'll be lots by the riverbank. He could start and finish there every week.
Every
like,
week.
Like the obscure Scottish comic, Oh Willie. It's just one for... one for the Scottish dads there. It's the new demographic I'm going for. Just Scottish dads. And elsewhere in the paper, right, next to this dappy thing, someone has put together the 50 experiences that every dog should have in its lifetime, okay? Every dog should have these experiences. But I'm looking at these and I'm thinking, no, no, no. Not every dog. Every dappy. Because this reads like a list of mischief. Little mischievous things that actually... Dappy could get up to in his brand new show, The Madness of King Dappy. This might as well be an episode list for Dappy's new show. For example, right, number 3 on the list, this would be a great episode for Dappy, Go Mad in the Snow. That'd be good, just seeing Dappy go mad in the snow.
That'd be great.
28 minutes. Dig up a flower bed. Be good, wouldn't it, with Dappy doing that? Roll around in a really stinky muddy puddle.
Oh, yeah.
Ruin a pair of slippers or shoes. Oh, Dappy. Oh, this would be a great one for Dappy. Chase a cat during a dream. Would that be lovely to see Dappy doing that? Just the camera just slowly moving into him as his little legs twitch. And he's trying to chase a cat. Meet a famous dog. That'd be a great episode. Convince people you can howl English words. Well, that's, you've got to stay realistic. Get filthy within 30 minutes of a bath. Classic Dappy. Show the postman who's boss. That'd be another great one. Bound through a forest. Another wonderful Dappy episode. Create a diversion and steal another dog's dinner.
Oh,
Dappy. And finally, this one here. And I think this would be great. This could be the pilot. Have a standoff with your own reflection. So I think all of these are brilliant Dappy-based episodes for the new Dappy-based reality TV show. Yappy.
Yappy.
Call it Yappy. Yappy, the little N-dubs dog. Do you know what I mean? I think it's been brilliant. So that's my question for you this morning, unbelievably. What dog-based adventures would you like to see Dappy undertake? Okay, we're talking about things that would happen if Dappy was a dog. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. 83936. Your Dappy dog-based adventures. For example, Matt, were Dappy to be a dog, what crazy mischief would he get up to?
Well, you know, Yappy hangs around a lot with his best friend dog, Phaser the flat-coated
N-dogs.
Retriever.
N-dogs.
N-dogs.
Yes. Yappy out of N-dogs. Go on.
So Phaser, the flat-coated retriever, he survives by snaffling up all the scraps that Dappy disregards. Yeah. And sometimes Phaser is a bit of a bad influence on his canine BFF. One time, the pair of mutts ran into the River Thames at low tide to play in the water.
Oh.
And then they came out to shake themselves dry on the south bank, completely soaking Talisa the cat.
No! Those crazy mutts. Dave, what's your Yappy adventure?
Oh, well, Yappy the dog finds out his other canine mates have been captured by the evil pop dog catcher Simon Cowell, so hilarity and adventure ensues.
Nice.
Yappy the dog, uses his puppy skills to free his puppy pals.
That's nice. I'd like to see Yappy hanging around outside a local butcher's shop until the butcher is distracted, and then he'd creep up to the counter and bite down on the sausage, and then he'd scarper down the high street, a string of sausages just bouncing on the pavement behind him as his head teacher, Mr. Timkins, chases him with a slipper. All that blooming dog, honestly. Do you think anyone else on radio is doing this at the minute? I'm not sure.
We could be
everyone doing it right now.
XFM. We are XFM.
That's a strange morning already. I mean, I got out of my house, trying to find the little minicab, and I could hear it, and it was just going like that. Like a sort of, like a canal boat or barge.
Spluttering.
Yeah. Like that, like a tiny helicopter. And I looked around and it wasn't my minicab at all. It was just a moped that had been left on outside my house. I was thinking, I know budgets are tight, but have Global Radio just sort of deposited a moped outside my house and gone, off you go. And it was just on. It was just on and just going... And I sort of hung around thinking, well, whose moped is this? To whom does this belong? And surely they'll want it back. And no one just gets off a moped and forgets to turn it off.
It running.
And just goes, yeah, that'll do. I can't be bothered to turn it off. I think I'll just go in. It's like a ghost moped. It's like the Mary Celeste of of low engine vehicles. Yeah.
If you were an opportunist thief, you could have had that. You could have gone away on that.
I know.
Just jumped on and driven to work.
Could have jumped on. It would have been like I was giving my own minicab a kind of a presidential motorcade. with a tiny moped. Well, whose is it? What's it doing there? And why is it off? Had it been stolen? Had it been deposited? Yeah, but even if you were a thief, you'd probably go, probably got time to turn this off. Yeah. Less suspicious, isn't it? Just leaving it on. Yeah. But who, you know, but could I just jumped on that? I imagine I could because it was on. Ooh. I couldn't see a key. I got close to it and thought, should I? It's not really an emergency, is it? I can't really call the police about this.
I mean, do you know how to ride a moped? Would it have been a dangerous journey?
No, I think I could handle a moped.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I could. I think I could handle just about the power of the beast.
Be like Tom Cruise in Top Gun, wouldn't you?
Very much so. Cruising
down the highway.
That's how my street knows me. Oh, Top Gun's back. That's what they normally say. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I did the British thing of getting a bit close to show concern, but then not getting too close to make anyone looking think I might be trying to nick it.
Yeah.
So I sort of got close to kind of go, yes, I've noticed this, and then backed away, got in my minicab and left it.
Good, strong
move. Facial gesture.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, I've noticed this, everybody. Okay. I've seen a moped. So I don't know what to do. Maybe it'll be running for weeks.
God.
Just be there. Could be there for years.
Well, do keep it updated.
Don't worry about that. I'm already going to commission a short documentary about it. So who knows, if that's your moped and you're listening to the show, just for some sort of reason, because I live on your street and you feel that you have to, turn it off, basically. Turn it off. We are XFL. Bear Grylls, everybody. Hello, Bear.
You guys are such pros. I love it. You go from music in the background chatting about films to, like, bang, you're straight into it.
Boom, we're starting. That's how it works. That's very much a survival technique that we've come up with, Bear, that we can teach you all about.
Thank you.
No problem. I notice you're not really blending into your environment this morning, Bear. You're sitting there in a pair of Union Jack combat trousers.
My Union Jack slacks.
Yeah,
these
the Jack slacks.
These are actually my first outing, so this is exciting. I got them yesterday.
Oh, really?
And the good thing about radio is that nobody can see.
No, it's a bold move. It's a confident look, and I like them. But how would you blend into your environment wearing them?
Well, in London, pretty well.
You know? Yeah, well, absolutely.
Especially in Leicester Square.
What if there are predators?
Lots of people around with Union Jet flags.
Yeah, absolutely.
Predators,
yeah.
I would change my slacks.
Would you?
I would change them.
If you're being hunted down by a predator, how long would you allow to change your slacks?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I'm just saying, it's not covered.
I think
covered.
Sometimes, actually, you can't really change your slacks. You just need to run.
That's good. A philosophical bent to your advice there. You've got a brand new book out, A Survival Guide for Life, and it's a little different from many of your other books, I'd say. You've written, what, about a dozen books, I guess?
I have, yeah. No, this is called A Survival Guide for Life, and it's basically the lessons and mistakes, I suppose, I've learnt on how to get ahead in life. And, you know, I think Mud, Sweat & Tears was a kind of story of what I've done and the mountains and the TV stuff, and this is kind of the, you know, the lessons behind it and the principles that have, you know,
informed that. Yeah.
So it's about, you know, how to achieve your goals, how to thrive when it's difficult, and how to grow in character. And it's simple things like, you know, not listening to the dream stealers that we all have in our lives. You kind of say,
who are
mad,
the dream stealers? Who's your dream stealer?
I mean, the whole time. I'm always going, let's plan this or do that. And people go, you're mad, or it won't work. And it's the mad and the don't work sayers.
The dark forces at work.
Exactly.
In suburbia. So it's kind of, you know, because, you know, Mud, Sweat & Tears spent so long in the bestsellers list as well. And
that's a bad side of it, because I always said I'm not going to do another book after Mud, Sweat & Tears.
Yeah.
I think it ended up doing, like, 20 weeks at number one or something, which was like more than I'd ever
dreamt.
I just want to get into the top 10 once in my life, you know. So I thought, you've got to finish at the top. Yeah. Otherwise, if it goes to number two, you'd be disappointed, where in the old days, it'd be like, number two, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like... Why are you being such a dream stealer?
Thinking.
Why are you being a dream stealer?
Exactly.
So why are you robbing yourself?
So that's why I wrote it.
Good, excellent. And it's sort of a bit like team building in a book, if you know what I mean.
Well, it is like that. And, you know, I've always been quite rude about self-help books.
Why are you...
Because they're always
dream stealing
kind of,
again.
Exactly. But nobody taught me this stuff at school. And all I learned was maths, Latin and science, and learned quite quickly. I wasn't very good at it. But nobody taught me that you've got to kind of go for things, and you've got to work hard, and things require sacrifice, and all these kind of, you know, principles. And actually, I'm really proud of it. And you know, people go, oh, motivation or whatever, it's so temporary. You know, but so's washing your armpits. Do you know what I mean? You gotta do it every day. You gotta feed the good stuff in, and we become what we read and the people we hang out with, yeah, and the values we kind of try and live by. So I hope it's an empowering thing and a good thing for people.
And how handy was Latin in the wilderness?
Well, not at all. That's my point again, you know. Hence the survival guide for life. It's taken me a while to learn the lessons, fall in the pitfalls.
Yeah.
And hope, luckily come through and say, well, this is what's helped me. I hope it can empower you in some way.
I have some questions based on your lessons that we will get into. So, for example, you say, follow your dreams, cherish them. They're God-given, drop like pearls into the depths of your being. Which dreams are you following right now?
Well, we're busy in pre-production for a load of new shows for NBC in America and for Channel 4 over here. So we're about to head off to scout all those locations, which are staying top secret at the moment. But the show's called Get Out Alive.
Get Out Alive. That's the kind of the bare minimum what you want in any situation.
I love it. It's great. And basically, I take 10 duos into the mountains and put them through hell and back and get rid of two each week. And at the end of the season show, there's one pair left. You get the prize. It would change their life. But they will have deserved it because they will have gone through total pain. And as a viewer, you're going to think good.
Like a hardcore Amazing Race.
Hardcore.
A hardcore one. Family. Sometimes like fudge, mostly sweet, but with a few nuts. That's what you say. Who's the weirdest member of your family?
Well, how long have we got?
To be honest, if it's not you...
But the thing is, nuts are interesting and it's never boring. And so... But it's sometimes stressful.
Like nuts. That's where the analogy falls down.
It's why I started to climb at a young age. Uh-huh. Because I always had quite a bossy sister and I learned to climb trees to get some peace and quiet.
Get away from her. Finally, instinct is the nose of the mind. Well, nurse, does that mean? What's going on there?
Trust it.
Trust.
In other words, you know, it's kind of difficult to explain, but
trust your nose.
Instinct's the nose of the mind. You've got to kind of, you know, it guides you a little bit. Listen to it a bit more, and it's that inner voice that sometimes gets dusted over and clouded over, and we think we don't know best, and we've got to use our rational mind. But it's there, it's God-given, and you've got to trust it sometimes, and it's rarely wrong.
Follow your God-given nose.
Follow your God-given nose.
XFM. Right now you're in the I Don't Know Biz. Let me flip that and reverse it and pop you in the No Biz. As I show you my business. So I've been through the papers, distilled the stories down to their core elements. So you're armed and ready. Well, Pippa Middleton is to write a book giving people advice on how to get married on the cheap.
Am I in a dream?
No. It's handy, isn't it, after her appearance at her sister's £20 million wedding. It's probably the country's number one expert on thrifty weddings, this rich single girl. Girls Aloud are releasing their own charm bracelets. It's good, isn't it? It's a nice alternative to releasing records, isn't it, eh?
Yeah.
Let's get into that, the charm bracelet world. Sid Owen from EastEnders. We should do charm bracelets.
Yeah, mugs are so last year.
They are. But we could have, as part of the charm, the charm bracelets are the ones that some people wear.
Are they like friendship bands, or are they those rubber ones that all the kids wear now?
No, I think that one, they're silver, and you give them to babies or something. Oh. And then they've got lots of like little icons on, so you'd buy a little...
Yeah.
So for our show, you'd buy a little silver caper.
Yes, okay.
To reflect your love of capers, Matt.
Nice, yeah.
A little baby to reflect baby Dave.
Yeah.
Maybe a pair of specs for me or a mug.
Yeah,
you know, mug, muggins, all that kind of stuff.
Let me write this down.
Please do, make a note and action that. Sid Owen from EastEnders went to Gilgamesh and started dancing like he was on Strictly. It's a lovely image, isn't it?
That's nice.
Some tangoing about. Gary Lineker won a secret bet with Lee Hurst and managed to sneak the word labradoodle into Match of the Day.
No. You are sh**ing me.
I'm not, but he failed to include gargantuan Bulgarian horse. And all thanks to the unique way the BBC is funded. Beyoncé and Jay-Z have lost their battle to trademark their daughter Blue Ivy's name. I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think I'm more likely to call my next child Jay-Z than I am Blue Ivy. That's why you should be concentrating your efforts, guys, just to let you know. Denise Van Outen's daughter prefers watching cartoons So watching her dance. I'm no big cartoon fan, but yeah, I get that. I get that. Should we move on to tweets now?
Yeah, oh, wow, okay.
It's a new sub-genre of this feature. Well, Ellie Goulding says, my favourite ham is cheese.
Lows.
Kelly Osborne says, just put face wash on my toothbrush. And finally, Rizzle Kicks say, huh? Heart FM are playing Gangster's Paradise. What?
Gazoo.
Now you're in the no-biz.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station. On the planet. XFM.
We asked you, what would happen if Dappy was a dog? So he's got a new reality show. And at the same time, they've released the 50 experiences that every dog should have in its lifetime. Dappy likes mischief. He's always getting up to mischief. And he's promised mischief within this reality TV show. And so we've asked you for... what kind of adventures can he get up to? Let's crack on. Let's get some episodes going. Yeah. Matt?
Ben from Bracknell suggests Yappy would wander into a fast food outlet, wait until somebody goes into the toilet, and then steal the meat from their hamburgers. The person will return to an empty bun whilst Yappy snacks at a safe distance.
Oh, Yappy. A lot of meat theft going on. I mean, I suggest that I'd like to see him stealing a string of sausages and running off down the street. Andrew from Orpington says, my Yappy episode would see Yappy from N-Dogs running around a field, just chasing birds, and then going home and eating all the lunch and meat. Yum, yum, yum. That'd be over the credits, wouldn't it? Yeah. Just him just flat against a fridge eating, stuffing his face with lunch and meat.
Tony in the van would love to see Yappy trying to get a big stick into the house without getting it jammed against the door frame.
That's a whole episode.
Nice. Well, Kat suggests, what about the time Dappy got worms and had to rub his bum on the ground?
Oh, Dappy. little Jason says Yappy's been left home alone for the day and basically wrecks the joint, pillow feathers floating around the room as the ultimate evidence of naughty Yappy's big day of destruction. That's great. That'd be a runner, wouldn't it?
Yeah, naughty Yappy. Rachel, 22, from Newcastle, says Yappy the dog could have his own catchphrase.
Yes.
So every week at the end of the episode, he could say, Yappy Dappy Doo.
Oh,
totally
that's
original
nice.
As well.
Neil says Yappy soils a carpet. Ross and Sasha in Cobham. Yappy has his glands drained. That's an unusual one. More meat theft here. Ian from Tottenham. That Dappy sneaks down to the refrigerator one night to eat all of the luncheon meat. And his owner awakens to find an open fridge and a content but guilty looking Yappy. Yappy.
Yappy. Alex in Raynham says, I would like to see an episode showing Yappy's more tender side. Talisa the cat, Yappy's best friend, has unfortunately had a naughty video release.
Oh dear.
Possibly involving some bad catnip.
Mm.
Yappy is on hand to comfort them.
That's lovely.
Nice.
Lovely. Yappy, of course, doesn't have a tail to chase, so he just spends half an hour chasing the bobble on his ridiculous hat, says one person. And Helen in South Ryslip just says, Yappy gets into a scrape with another end dog and gets a cut on his tail, has to wear a cone around his neck to stop him licking his stitches. All brilliant, all brilliant. Commission times 1,000.
XFM.
Someone's just texted in, Mrs. Jenke. I'm not sure if that's her married name or just a username. Saying, listening to Bear Grylls on XFM, what a guy. Inspiration much? You must get that a lot, Bear Grylls.
Oh, thank you. That's nice. Still need a cup of tea in the morning.
Still needs that, just the basics. You mentioned earlier that you're doing a new show for NBC and Channel 4. It sounds fantastic, like a hardcore kind of reality show. Cancel it.
Okay.
Cancel it, Bear. Forget it. Because we've got the next year of your life absolutely sorted. We've asked people this morning to text us to pitch you brand new ideas. So let's play Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
So these are all ideas for noted adventurer, survival expert, Bear Grylls. Ideas that you've come up with this morning. Matt Dyson, what's the first pitch for Bear Grylls?
Damien in Foggy Essex suggests Bear Back. Bear's new show promoting the art of naked animal riding.
Nice.
Pixelated nether regions, obviously, he says. Perhaps starting with smaller animals, developing into fully-fledged wild and dangerous mammals.
There you go. How about that? Are you into sitting on animals?
The season finale, I can see it already.
You could
rodeo going on.
completely. Wow, you could go back through history, couldn't you, and try and resurrect some kind of woolly mammoth as well for the season finale.
Yeah, totally.
He sidestepped that one, I'll be honest. But I had...
I don't want to be rude about it. I don't want to diss Matt's out of whoever.
It was Damien in Foggy Essex.
Damien. Yeah. It's rubbish.
His future's not in television production. What about this one? This is mine. Bear Grylls, Bear Skills with Spare Grylls. Now, noted adventure survival expert Bear Grylls is doing very well at surviving. Still very much with us, but then we all are, aren't we? So you're not that good, Bear. Now comes his greatest challenge yet. Take on man's oldest enemy, that's fire, without our oldest friend, clothing. And this would very much see you kind of going through skips and sheds, trying to find old grills, and then barbecuing meat naked so that the fatty, spattering meat would kind of go all over you. And you've got to survive that, Bear. It's 360-degree programming, TV online, and Bear's red button will be Bear's bare red bottom. What do you think?
I tell you what, with your voice and the music playing in the back, I was there. This is going to be amazing.
Absolutely. Matt, another one from the list.
Most of them seem to involve Bear being naked. one that doesn't is Bear Ground Attraction.
Oh.
Bear Grylls reforms the 80s one-hit wonders Fairground Attraction for one last perfect tour.
That's nice, musically nice.
My kids like that one.
Excellent. We've got loads here. Kebab Grylls, Survivor, that's to do with you going into various kebab shops on Saturday nights and surviving. Bear Grylls delivers meals. That's just Bear Grylls. Bear Tills. Bear Grylls is grills.
What's Bear Tills?
Bear Tills. Bear Grylls is stuck in Tesco with Dale Winton. And he's in a race against time to salvage the Bear essentials before Dale catches him in a supermarket aisle. Not to be missed, this is Saturday Night Entertainment. That's from Aaron in Croydon.
I love it. Good one, Aaron.
All right, that's good. Bear Grylls, Bear Window Sills. You take on the role of a DIY expert travelling the country looking for houses with rundown window frames. You then strip them down and revamp those neglected windows against a time limit or face being a failure in the tough dog-eat-dog world of DIY. That's from Ellie.
Oh, I love a bit of DIY.
He's not committing. Things, he's very good at sidestepping.
My wife would be going, oh, no, DIY in you is a disaster. All I wanted was the shelf up, didn't you?
Listen, if there's one thing I'm sure of, it's that instinct is the nose of the mind, Bear. So what are you going to go for? What's your nose telling you?
The nose is... I don't know. Bear's window sills.
He's in! Yes. He's in! Excellent work. Thanks, Bear.
We are...
I got back yesterday to find the police on my street.
An update on the scooter gate.
The ghost moped. Yesterday, about this time, I left my house to find a sinister moped. Engine running, the lights on, the rain just illuminated, under the headlight.
What noise is it making again?
Like that. Very eerie image, wasn't it? Very eerie. Anyway, it was still there when I got home late morning.
Unbelievable.
And still running. It was still running. And there were police next to it whose job it was just to wait next to the moped, I think until it ran out of juice. So if you know anyone who's lost an orange Vespa, then get in touch with the show and I'll put you in touch with the right people, because the police were saying that no one's claimed it yet.
I know who it is.
It's just a renegade orange Vespa just sitting outside, just constantly going... Still there, still there. I got a very concerning tweet from confirmed listener Glenn in Greenhithe. There's a wonderful man, confirmed listener, consistent listener, persistent listener. And he was facing some trouble at work, and I thought, well, we're the station that cares. Let's sort this out. So I gave Glenn a quick call.
Hi.
Hello, is that Glenn in Greenhithe?
It is indeed.
Hello, it's XFM Breakfast Show presenter Danny Wallace here.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, you may know me, of course, from the XFM Breakfast Show, to which you listen, Glenn.
I may know you from that, yeah.
And Glenn, I got a tweet from you that concerned me hugely. It was kind of you saying that you're not allowed to listen to XFM at work, is that right?
That is the problem, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And in fact, they make you listen to something else, don't they?
They do, indeed, they do.
Why do you still work there, Glenn?
Because I need the money.
A bunch of clowns you're working with. So how does it work? You go and you try and retune it to either DAB or, of course, 104.9. And what would they do? Slap your wrist or something?
Yeah, pretty much. I've tried to negotiate a deal that involves me working harder for the choice of my station.
Yeah, just falling on deaf ears.
Tried sneakily changing it as well. That's that's not worked.
No, well, you've done two things there, haven't you? You tried to do it in the legitimate way by bargaining with them and bringing an offer to the table, very above board. It's the measure of a man, Glenn, if you don't mind me saying. It's really wonderful. And then when you were rebuffed and faced with this dilemma, you have tried to sneakily do it as well. So it's the two sides of Glenn from Greenhithe coming to the fore.
It is, yeah, it is.
What are we going to do about this, Glenn? It just seems like they're very keen to sort of, in some ways, demolish your confidence, keep you down, keep you compliant, keep you listening to probably something else with faster beats so that you work harder, like on a slave ship or something.
It is, and I'm far too old to listen to music that they put in the office.
That's not fair, is it?
No, it's not.
Who can I talk to? Who can I talk to there? What kind of work is it, by the way?
We are an office suppliers company.
So you need, really, some kind of indie rock to help you in your endeavours?
To motivate me.
Who's in charge there of kind of the internal listening process? Is there an office manager?
Well, there's two guys in charge. There's Michael, who's the MD.
He sounds like a clown.
And then there's Mark, who's the sales manager.
Mark the mug, I call him. So I should talk to one of those two or someone just in the office and try and just... Maybe I'll try and trick them into it. Maybe I could use sort of Glenn from Greenhithe Mark 2, the sneaky Glenn.
Maybe.
All right, well, listen, stay on the line, Glenn. I'm going to take the number of your office and we're going to call them in a moment or two.
Okay.
Thanks, Glenn. And listen, just stay strong, okay?
I'll stay strong. I'll keep fighting the fight.
Keep fighting that fight and I'm going to help you.
XFM.
Matthew Dyson, if I were to ask you, what are you angry about? What are you nerdy about? What would you say? Would you say something along the lines of, let's do angry nerds?
I certainly would.
There you go. Good. I was waiting for the answer.
And then I'd say, PC manufacturers. Sometimes I hold down the shift button for too long while I'm talking to someone or gawping at an image on my monitor. This does not mean I want to turn on the filter keys, an irreversible move which seems to change the function of every key on my QWERTY keyboard, and making highlighting text in the usual manner impossible. Why would anyone ever want to do this? What purpose does it serve? You might as well just shut down the PC when I hold shift down for over your set 8-second limit.
Exactly. Well done.
Sickens me. It's about time someone had this, said this about filter keys.
It is absolutely right.
Attention on the radio, filter keys.
To be fair and balanced, you've had a go at PCs there, so I should really have a go at like the likes of Apple.
You sure?
But I don't mention brand names. So, well-known computer and smartphone manufacturer.
Yeah, you're pretty cool, aren't you?
And I look forward to unwrapping new purchases like a child on a snowy Christmas morn. But take a chill pill, fruit face. Stop tinkering. I don't want to buy a new laptop, only to find out you're releasing a slightly better one a day or two later. What happened to the old days, yeah? You buy a Commodore, and that's all you'd have until university. I don't want to buy a new thing every 3 months. Be worse, you fruit-faced fool. Be worse.
We are XFM.
It's Miranda Hart, everybody.
Oh, wow.
How the heck are you?
What a lovely intro.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was smashing.
You got any questions for me about that intro?
Do you do that to all your guests? Or
no.
Am I special?
Just you.
Yay.
Just you. How's it going, Miranda?
It's good, thanks.
Yeah?
I'm all right.
When I saw earlier, you'd spotted Alan Titchmarsh.
Yeah, I can still see him.
You can see Alan Titchmarsh through a window. He's there.
I mean, that's showbiz.
It is. He's holding court, isn't he, with a gaggle of young people.
That's Titchmarsh's posse.
Yeah, I was going to shorten that, but it came out as Tossy, and I thought, I better not.
Do that.
Miranda, what an exciting time to be Miranda Hart.
Yeah, no, I've been very lucky. I'm still shocked that everyone likes the sitcom. And
why would you be shocked at that?
Well, because you can't. I sort of write things and go, people going to like that?
Right.
I didn't assume anyone would. You just write what you think's funny, and I thought maybe the odd member of the WI would like it.
Right.
And then more people have, and it's surreal.
So you wanted to write a sitcom specifically for one or two people at the WI? And you thought, this is the way I want my career to go.
That's it.
I want to focus on them.
I want to do a tour of village halls.
Yeah.
And talk about flower pressing.
Yes, exactly.
No, but I wrote what I thought was funny, but I just didn't think it would sort of take off like it has.
And now, of course, you have, I was going to say the obligatory book, but it's only obligatory because of the success of the sitcom. It was a great process writing the book, you say. You went to school as well with, probably not with Kate Middleton, but Kate Middleton was kind of around.
Yeah, she was there for a term, but unfortunately I wasn't there at the time. I don't think she's a lot younger.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that. A lot of radio broadcasts, important broadcasts, would push you for dirt on our future queen. Yeah. I don't want that.
No.
I want something really mundane about Kate Middleton, something you may have heard or picked up along the way.
She preferred hockey to lacrosse.
Boom, there you go. Write it down.
Which is why she's so left, because we didn't play hockey.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, blimey.
So I hear.
It all links in.
It's another smashing anecdote.
She saved it all for her books, I think. Oh, that's what's happened.
Yeah.
So the book, Is It Just Me? You split it into chapters. Miranda, as she is now, talks to the Miranda of the past, the 18-year-old Miranda. You're talking about technology, for example, and lots of other things. What other advice do you give little tiny Miranda?
Well, she also gives me some advice at some points in the holidays.
It's like The Matrix or something.
I know, come on. there's a chapter on holidays, and she reminds me that actually we are a bit of a hippie and an adventure at heart. 18, I was quite like, I went travelling around Australia and New Zealand and quite wanted to do a lot more travelling. And then as I got older, I got a bit more sort of nervy and scared about that.
Oh, really?
And now I'm going, no, I am.
Why?
I am. I don't know, because you're old as well. And do you not find you get a bit more health and safety conscious?
Yes, I do. And particularly, I've got a toddler now, and I find it very hard to get to sleep most nights.
Yeah.
Inventing ludicrous ways that will never happen for some tiny injury to befall him. I would like
this
him to roll his socks
about.
Above his trousers as he walks up and down the stairs.
Exactly.
You mentioned, of course, that I'm very, very old, and in the papers yesterday, it says that 28 is now the new old. It's when people start to watch Strictly instead of X Factor.
Right.
You don't want to go on holiday with your mates, you want to go on holiday with your partner,
okay.
And you prefer cooking your own food to takeaways. What are that applies to you, you old woman.
All of that. Absolutely all of that. But I'm thrilled that people now age 28 are admitting that they don't actually want to go clubbing.
Yeah.
Because
no
me,
really
we pushed on
until
about 35 pretending we liked clubbing.
Did you really?
Which was blooming exhausting.
Name me some of the clubs you went to. I want to hear these, like Cadillacs.
I can't even remember. At university, it was all about Ritzies.
Ritzies.
No, you went to Bristol, didn't you?
No.
Oh.
I've been to Bristol. Maybe that's what you're thinking
of. Who am I thinking of? And, oh, I can't remember. Woodies.
Woodies?
Yeah.
Woodies are the Ritzies.
XFM.
After the important broadcast on Friday, I went off for a meeting somewhere, and I bumped into a young lady who turned out knew producer Dave here, an old school friend of yours.
Yes.
It was nice to bump into an old school friend of yours.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a girl who, I suppose, had a bit of an effect on you when you were younger. I don't mean romantically. Mm. I mean psychologically.
Yeah.
And why is that, Dave?
Well, this was, I think, if it's the girl I'm thinking of, it was the girl that requested never to sit near me again at primary school because I smelt of peanut butter.
Smelt of peanut butter.
Yeah.
She took it against you, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not sitting next to that guy.
Yeah.
He reeks, he stinks, he does, of peanut butter.
I love the stuff. I couldn't stop eating it as a kid.
It's
so
weird.
It's no wonder.
It was out of every pore, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose it must have been smooth peanut butter rather than chunky because they wouldn't fit through the pores of an infant. The chunky peanut butter. It was the smooth one.
Yeah. I think so. It had a big effect on me in the years to come, I think.
And why did you stink so badly of peanut butter?
I just loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just constantly.
I mean, I wasn't putting it anywhere else apart from in my mouth, but obviously that enough because I was eating so much of the stuff.
Yeah.
Just made me stink of it.
You just stank, didn't you? Complete sort of stinky peanut butter boy.
Yeah.
I heard every day when you woke up, it would have seeped out of your pores and formed a hard shell. And you looked a lot like Morph. That's what I heard. That's what she told me.
That's not true. It's not true at all.
Might as well be.
We are...
We did it. We've done it. Tried to sort this out. Glenn and Greenhithe got in touch, confirmed Mr. Glenn, didn't he? He was having trouble at work.
Yeah.
You're making him listen to... As it turns out, having done the call now... As it turns out, listen to, well, you know, not just a rival radio station, but a completely sort of different genre of music. It's sick. Sick what they do. I didn't realise that offices could do this.
Yeah, it should be banned.
Bunch of sickos.
Is this workplace bullying?
I think it is. It's certainly psychological.
Yeah.
What in this day and age, in the 21st century, employers, it's like a workhouse mentality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this Charles Dickens? No. This is a modern-day office supply company. So we gave him a call and tried to sort out this mess of a situation.
Afternoon, everyone. Global, Charlie speaking.
Hello, Charlie. Is that Global Office Supplies?
It is, yes.
Do you think, Charlie, I could be put through to whoever is in charge of internal listening processes?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm phoning from Global Radio in London, and we're, at the moment, offering a one-time, absolutely free, at no cost to yourself FM broadcast deal. It's a broadcast deal. It's absolutely no money changes hands. It's all up front. And we would provide you with, essentially, at no cost to yourself for free, high-quality content and music at no cost for no money.
But I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you through to one of my colleagues and I'll have a little bit more about it.
Thank you, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Globe. Andrew speaking.
Oh, hello. Who am I speaking to, sorry?
It's Andrew.
Andrew. How are you, Andrew? My name's Danny. I just talked to Charlie, who seemed very excited about this. But I'm just calling on behalf of Global Radio to offer you a one-time, absolutely no-fee, completely free, up-front FM broadcast deal for your office.
Right, okay.
And what we'll do is we'll provide your office with music and content absolutely free, at no charge to yourself, no money up front, or indeed ever. And we will actually broadcast that direct to the offices of Global Office Supplies in order to, well, it depends what you want your workforce to do. We can, you know, provide you with more energy or keep them docile and compliant.
Yeah, definitely. A bit more energy in here would be good. They're all brain dead on a Monday. I think everyone is really, though.
Andrew, I can sort this out. I can sort this out for you. I can get this bunch of clowns that you see fit to employ. Pumping, if that's something you'd be interested in.
Definitely.
Can I ask you about your current FM broadcast deal?
Yeah, the two main bosses, they love a bit of a...
They love a bit of, yeah, every single day, really.
Every single second of every day, yeah.
Well, you know, if we do end up broadcasting this, I will bleep that out because there's no way that, you know, particularly kids should hear that kind of thing.
Not that sort of language.
So would you be interested in, if we can provide that to you, all you'll need is, and again, we make no money out of this, but all you'll need is some form of transistor receiver, a kind of a radio or perhaps a DAB box.
We have, yeah.
Great. Well, if you were to, I'll give you the code. Have you got a pen?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 104.
Yep.
Point.
Yep.
9.
Yep.
And you pop that into your transistor radio and you will get completely free at no cost XFM.
Perfect.
Are we on? Do we have a deal here?
That is definitely a deal.
Great, you're our first and only client at the moment, Global Office Supplies. Well, I'll leave that with you. And Glenn from Greenhithe in particular, I mean, describe him.
No, lovely bloke.
Yeah, I think he's trouble. I think he's trouble. He's going against your wishes in particular, Andrew. So if I were you, just keep your eye on him.
I will do, definitely.
And it might even be worth buying a separate transistor radio just so that he has to listen to all day.
I'll put him in another office.
Pop him in another office. Great, well, the deal is done. That's no money up front for the first week, and then, of course, we'll expect your checks.
Perfect.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for your help.
And if you'd be interested in a no-obligation FM broadcast content deal, free and upfront for your home or office, simply contact us on 83936, making sure to leave your date of birth, home address, and another's maiden name. Choose XFM. Together, we will crush the spirit of your workforce, making Kistery history. We are XFM. Peter, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
How are you, Peter?
Yeah, fine, thank you. You?
Very well, thank you for asking. You know the rules by now, of course.
Yeah. It's Belgian rules or something.
Belgian rules today. We were clear about that on the thing, so you should turn to your the relevant page in your listener pad. Have you got that in front of you?
No, I haven't, no. I've got to go back downstairs now.
Okay, well, Peter, we'll wait. We'll give you about 10 seconds just to pop off and get your listener pad. Off you go.
Well, hold on. It's on the website, is it?
Yeah, we print the rules in the London Gazette as well. Have you got a copy of the London Gazette there?
No.
Yeah, we haven't got that. All right, well, we're just going to have to wing it, I'm afraid, Peter. You should know the rules by now anyway, so let's get quizzical. Quavery! Well, Peter.
Yeah?
It's a welcome return to the world of the quavery to meet the wise old birds of Mandarin Wood. There we are. You'll remember, of course, the last time we ventured into Mandarin Wood, it was on the wings of the mighty Crake. Remember, Peter, how he swept you up from the river as the boat you sat in, no bigger than a hazelnut case, bobbed and weaved between those dangerous rocks. Oh, look, Behold, Peter, the crow.
Welcome, traveller. Do you trust the crow?
Peter, do you trust the crow? You trust the crow, I see.
Oh, you trust the crow, do you?
You trust the crow, do you, Peter?
I trust the crow, yeah.
Then tell me, you trust the crow.
I trust the crow.
Okay, tell him you trust the crow again, a little louder, Peter.
I trust the crow.
Okay,
very good. Then let us dance the dance of the crow.
Oh, Peter. You're dancing with the crow. You've linked arms. And you're moving toe to toe, Peter. It's just so wonderful to watch.
Do you trust the crow?
I trust the crow,
do you? Okay.
I haven't stolen your wallet.
Oh.
Do you trust the crow?
He hasn't stolen your wallet, Peter. Do you trust the crow?
I trust the crow.
There's no need to check that.
You're fine. He doesn't stolen your wallet. There's no need to check that, Peter.
I haven't got a wallet anyway.
Okay. Not anymore.
Do you think I'm having an affair with your mum?
Do you think the crow... Do you think the crow is having an affair with your mum, Peter?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Well, I'm definitely not.
Do you trust the crow, Peter?
I trust the crow.
Trust the crow. Oh, but wait. Peter, what's this? Isn't he a little too large to be a crow, you suddenly notice? Isn't he a little too broad of shoulder, a little too... long of wing? Are his feathers not waxen? His claws not sharpened? Could it be, Peter, that this crow you trust, is in fact...
Wait, okay.
Could it be that this crow is in fact a blackbird?
Oh, no.
Exactly. And Peter, I forgot to tell you at the start, you're a worm. And amongst the birds of Mandarin Wood is literally the worst place you could be. And now you're dancing with a blackbird who's stolen your wallet and has plans on your mother. Peter, what the hell are you doing? Quickly, choose a box, 1 to 6. 1 to 6, Peter.
6.
Oh, he's knocked it out of your hand. And also, you're a worm and you have no hands. All you can do now, Peter, is trust in the ancient worm-based proverb that your grandma, Granny Worm, taught you just before she ran off with that raven. Peter, complete the sentence.
No, not the sentence.
We are...
a worm.
No! What else can it be? You should know the rules by now, Peter. We are...
Forgotten now.
What do you mean you've forgotten?
Wait.
It's Belgian rules. Quickly, we are what? What are we? We are.
XFM.
There you go! Oh. Holy cow! That was exciting. That's why you should always have your listener pad with you.
Yeah, sorry.
What a ninny hammer. What an absolute nit. Never trust the crow. You should know that. Never trust the crow.
We are
XFM.
This show is starting to pervade society. The aspect of society. You know in films, right? You know in films, Matt. You ever seen a film?
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of different films, aren't there? And sometimes you see, you know when it's like a big thing has happened, let's say in like Ghostbusters or something, and it would go down a line of foreign correspondents.
Oh, yeah.
Spanish news reporter, German news reporter. A shorthand way of saying this news is spreading, you know?
Yeah.
And it would, maybe on Independence Day, something like that, some big disasters before on the earth. You'll get someone. They always get an actor. They never get, you know, someone like you, Matt, someone who can deliver the lines properly. It always bugs me and disturbs me.
Yeah.
Why don't they get someone who can do it? It always sounds like an actor. And it bothered me so much. I once met the producer of Ghostbusters 3, and I said, if there's a bit in it where you need someone to do the news report thing, get Muggins here. It's before we were really hanging out that much, Matt. Otherwise, I'd said, get Dyson. But then we got the call, didn't we, Dave? We got the call saying, can we come in and record some stuff with you?
Yeah.
For the brand new film, Cockneys vs. Zombies.
Indeed.
Out on DVD today. And we're in there. The XFM Breakfast Show's in there a couple of times. Here's a clip in particular.
Now, Katie.
You're a bit eager to shoot people.
I don't want to shoot people, but I'll happily shoot someone who's already dead. Fine. Don't say I didn't warn you when he turns.
This is an emergency broadcast.
Who's that?
There is a viral infection concentrated on the east end of London
it's
and
Muggins.
Spreading fast through the capital. The army have sealed off the east end to try and contain the virus. Authorities are advised...
We'll answer you later.
And then they just turn it off like that. And listening to it back, it turns out that I can't do that convincingly either. So it's a very difficult job, you know, to do. And I think probably in the future, Matt, you should be doing that.
Oh, I don't know.
On one of your takes, you kindly bought in me, didn't you?
I did bring you in.
They didn't use that. I was hoping they were going to use that one.
Me too.
My name might have got mentioned in there as well.
Nice.
But
that would have been nice. Let's do it lots of different ways.
Yeah.
I can reveal as well. We're in a brand new Jason Statham film that comes out next year as well.
We're
all over the place.
We are.
XFM.
Quiz Face.
Hello, I'm confirmed listener Pete from Tilton, and I forgot it's Belgian rules today because trusting a crow goes against every fibre of my being because a crow once copied off me at school and got better exam results than me. I bloody hate crows. Thank you, Chris Face. Thank you, Danny Wally.
We are
XFM.
Because Bear was in, we didn't do good news this morning, but we're about to, sort of. A couple of your good news contributions came in and I was reading them and going... This isn't good news, really. It's sort of sad news, really, isn't it? So today, you know, we're going to try something new. Matt Dyson, what's the sad news where you are?
Sad news, guys.
Oh.
My baby daughter's decided to stop sleeping at night,
meaning
she wails and moans as loudly as possible in her cot for hours on end, stopping any chance of an early night. To try and get her off last night at gone 11, she came into our bed, meaning Muggins here had to go and sleep on the sofa. So I didn't wake her with my snoring. This child is so precious.
Oh, man, that's not sad news, is it?
That's awful, awful news.
Dave, what's the sad news where you are?
Sad news, guys.
Oh, no.
As I jet off tomorrow morning to the Dutch city of Amsterdam.
Yes.
I am no doubt preparing myself for 48 hours of fun and excitement as I watch my beloved Manchester City take on Ajax.
Oh, yes.
All good news, I hear you shout.
Oh.
Not so, guys.
No.
Not so. As on Thursday morning, this very show is announcing the full lineup for this year's Winter Wonderland gigs in London and Manchester.
Dang.
The anticipation, the suspense, the excitement, and of course, the big reveal just after 8. I shall miss it all. All for a measly game of European football.
Oh, very on message, but still very sad. Sad news, isn't it? Hey, sad news, guys. This morning as I left for work, I saw that someone had inexplicably left a moped outside my house. Light on, motor running. A lonely putt-putt-putt sound framed by mist. The headlight illuminating nothing but a light rain. The tears of the sky. It had been there 20 minutes, the... Minicab man told me, just lonely and isolated, like a sad two-wheeled Herbie. Also, the fan in my fridge has gone funny, meaning it's a bit louder than normal. Sad news, guys.
That's not sad news.
No, it's not, is it? It's awful news. But what about you, ladies and gentlemen? What's your sad news this morning? Let us know and we'll put it in the air and make London a bit sadder. A problem shared is a problem halved, but it is also a problem broadcast. Just go with your nose, yeah? It's the instinct of the mind.
We are.
The story here, ladies and gents, the story here. And we all like music, don't we? That's why we listen to XFM, yeah? Top music. But there's a survey here about the best songs, kind of in the world, in a sense. Songs, Matt, that are better than, how can I put this, intimacy of any kind with anyone.
Really?
That's what it says. And they've proved this, apparently. It sounds like a joke when I say the guy's name, but it's Dr. Mullensiefen, who is, of course, a senior lecturer in the Department of Psychology at Goldsmiths.
Right.
And Dr. Mullensiefen, who's conducted a survey. It's the first of its kind. 2,000 people, 50-50 split, male-female. And it's called The Science Behind the Song. And he examined the long-standing relationship between music and the world of romance.
Right.
And Dr. Mullensiefen said, hopefully in an Austrian accent, from neuroscientific research, we know that music can activate the same pleasure centres of the brain that also respond to much less abstract rewards such as food or drugs or intimacy of some kind, right? And there's a whole list of songs which are technically better than intimacy. So what we've done is we've condensed this huge list down to just the top 10 songs. And I don't know if you're in a relationship right now, Maybe you're single. It's one or the other, really, isn't it? And maybe you're in a van right now, okay? And you're parked up near some, near, you know, it's a red light or something. You look out and there's a girl there or a boy. And, you know, they're great. And maybe this now is your chance to catch their attention. So turn your stereos up, right? Turn your stereos right up. If you're in a cafe and there's a girl there or a boy who you kind of want to cut some corners and just get straight to, hey, I'm brilliant, right? Okay. Let's trigger those little parts of their brains that make them immediately feel a little bit romantic. So these are the top 10 songs considered better than sex.
I want to break free.
You've got them already.
Stop me now.
They're getting interested. They like you. You're losing them. You're losing them. Get it back. That's right. Things are hotting up.
And through it, oh,
yeah.
She offers me protection.
Three Queen songs in one.
I love Queen.
Where was Agadoo coming from at that point there? Also, I think that lyric, like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone by the morning comes, doesn't really say romantic. How are you feeling now?
Funny to go for a cold shower.
Let's all just calm down together.
XFM.
I wanted to play you this. And it's from an American radio show, right? Called The Morning Playhouse. It's a nice name, isn't it? Good name for our show. Morning Playhouse on a radio show called Y94. It's an unusual radio station name. And her name is Donna, right? She's very very passionate about one issue in particular. She's been driving around the interstate and the highways and byways of America. And she keeps noticing this one thing that just... It's happened to her a couple of times. Three times, I think, this terrible thing. And she's got a solution. She doesn't know why these things happen when it seems like... Well, the government's asking for it. So here's Donna.
Over the past few years, I've been involved in three separate car accidents involving deer.
Mm.
Each of these incidents, they've occurred shortly after I saw a deer crossing sign on the highway. You know, why in the world would they place it on the highway? I mean, God, there are so many other places I can think of than the deer crossing signs on busy highways and interstates.
You seem to be under the... misunderstanding that the deer are somehow attracted to the deer crossing sign.
Well, yeah, the deer crossing sign is there to allow the deer to know that's where they need to cross.
Wow, what a world she lives in.
That's what they're for.
So she's been going past these deer crossing signs. You know, the warning signs saying, watch out, because deers are often around here. They often cross over. And she's like, why are they putting these deer crossing signs?
It just encourages them.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's like, why isn't there a little bridge for the deer? You know, just all these, as if that's how the world of nature works. You know, like little hedgehogs lining up next to hedgehog signs going, well, this appears to be where we cross. Wonderful. Excellent work, Donna. Excellent work.
We are XFM.
We've been asking you this morning for your sad news here on the Upbeat Breakfast Show. Because the first good news that came in, the first three bits, could all have been seen as, well, sad news, really. So we've decided to reflect that. You're clearly feeling a bit sorry for yourself this morning. So that's what we're doing. Matt Dyson, what's the sad news where the people are?
Confirmist Phil in Orpington says, sad news, guys. Mm-hmm. After living to the feature sad news, I have found...
Listening to the feature,
sorry,
sad news.
After listening to
it
the
is,
feature...
You will get emotional reading some of these, Matt. You will get. It will be hard.
After listening to that feature, I found my mind spiralling into a bitter web of melancholy. Mm. Previously this morning, I was happy, pleased by the fact that despite getting up 15 minutes late, I was still going to make it to work on time. Instead of seeing the joy of not being late, it's illustrated the fact that every other day, I've missed out on 15 minutes in bed.
Oh, man, that is sad news, isn't it? What sad news that is. Poor confirmed listener Adam, who's driving the streets of London right now, he's humiliated this morning, and he says, sad news, guys. I was just laughed at because the horn in my truck sounds like it belongs to a Renault Clio. Oh, poor man. Honestly. Imagine doing that. You're driving around trying to be all manly. Everyone's just giggling. Little groups of kids laughing at you. That's sad news, isn't it? What else, Matt?
Sad news, guys, from Chris in Great Yarmouth. Yeah. I had a row with my wife this morning.
Oh.
She had boxed up a load of old DVDs to be sent to a well-known internet-based musical-y bird-orientated DVD collection company, not knowing how life-threatening it would be to do so. Oh. I foolishly lent three to my father last night, and now we're going to be at least 90p down this weekend. She was not best pleased.
Not best pleased. Now, also in terms of wife news, sad news, guys, during a conversation with my wife, it became apparent that history's not her strong point. She thinks that Rudolf Hess was in Spandau Ballet. No, not at all. No, nowhere near. Jill in Ballam, what's the sad news where you are?
Sad news, guys. I'm going to a wedding away day today where I know for a fact I'm going to have to do role plays. I'm sick to my stomach. That's not sad news.
That's awful news, isn't it? I mean, Fergal and Bushies, I've got sad news. His workmate hurt his arm fixing his boiler last night. Wasn't able to use his phone and let Fergal know he wouldn't be in today. So now Fergal has got a very lonely drive into work through rush hour traffic, leaving him depressed about a very hard day's work, rendering in the cold and wet alone. Oh, you don't want to render on your own, do you?
Oh, no, you don't.
You want to render as a team. You know, talk about the rendering. Well, Matt, what else is sad?
Afghan has got to walk the dog on his own this morning in the dark and fog. Because it's another 6 weeks till my husband is home.
Yeah, from Afghan. The lady's name is not...
Oh, sorry, yeah, right, yeah.
The lady's name isn't Afghan.
No. I just read the end
before. Her name was Afghan Sadface, which is, I think, double barrel.
Afghan Sadface.
What else?
And Pedant Marina.
Oh, yeah.
Says, sad news, guys. My 2.5-year-old toddler also had a bad night's sleep involving nightmares and woke up saying, "Mummy doesn't love me."
Aww.
I had to leave him at nursery unconvinced of my love, and now I get to type for a living.
Oh, man.
Uncheers.
That's not good. And finally, Posh Lindy just says, sad news, guys. My car is still in the menders. 3 weeks it's been and I miss it. It's got the sat-nav in there and all my tools for the allotment, which must be feeling so very neglected and alone. When, oh, when will it be coming home? Sniff, Posh Lindy. That's not sad news, is it, Lindy? That's awful news. Well, we're never doing that again.
We are
XFL.
Analytics.
So, 4 hours of hugely important broadcasting, but what have we learnt today, Matt Dyson?
All about Dave and Dappy this morning.
Yes.
The Double D. Producer Dave revealed he sat on his own in a cinema full of children watching the animated cartoon Paranorman on Friday night. Also, the whole team are truly psyched at the prospect of the ITV2 12-part reality show, The Madness of King Dappy.
Yes.
He claims it's going to be bigger and badder than Towie.
Absolutely, certainly badder.
Yeah.
We were told off by confirmed listener Yvonne today, who thought that this morning's texting question of what kind of mischief would Dappy get into if he were a dog was a bit mean. Consider us told, no more yappy from N-Dog sniffing round trees with a cone round his neck. Plus, we found out that Dave was not popular. Dave was not popular with girls at primary school because he smelled of peanut butter. The thick, nutty paste seeping from every pore and hardening overnight, meaning that his parents often had to crack him out of his shell every morning using a tiny toffee hammer.
XFM.
So there you go. That was podcast 66 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Is that a fly in here? There's a cow. What on earth? Okay, good. Cut all that. Wacky. Tick. Zany. Tick. I need some anarchic.
Oh,
you. Government.
Yeah.
Bloody Cameron and his cronies.